From January to March, I'm dealing on a subject, anointed and unleashed. Say, anointed and unleashed. One more time. For the last time. So last week we began looking at the people God anointed. In the Old Testament, God anointed kings, God anointed priests, God anointed prophets. God anointed judges. Judges were anointed. When you read the scripture, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon the person. It's talking about a certain divine quality that settled on the person. Now, today I'll be dealing with why does God anoint? Why should God anoint? And why does he anoint? Now, I would rather want to speak from a very interesting text. So I want us to just turn to the book of Genesis from the chapter number 1. After God had created man in his own image, after his own likeness, right from the verse 26, look at what the Bible says about when God created man. Genesis 1, 26. He says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them, and God blessed them. Come on, say, and God blessed them. One more time, for the last time. And God blessed them. And God blessed them. In fact, that same word bless is also in the verse 22 of the same chapter. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful. That is the verse 22. So it's in verse 22, it's in verse 28. In fact, that same word, bless, is in chapter 2, verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. And God blessed the seventh day. When you read Genesis 5, 2, that same word is there. Male and female created he them. When he's talking about a genealogy of the world, he said, and bless them and call their name Adam, and in the day when they were created. So God blessed. In fact, Genesis 9:1 also talks about, and God bless Noah. Come on, say, and God bless Noah. Now, so this word bless is quite an interesting thing. I'm going to use that to start talking about why does God anoint. Now, God has created man in his own image after his own likeness. And that, as if that was not enough, after creating man in his own image and after his likeness. Now, imagine that imago Dei, that man bore the image of God. We are not told anywhere that angels bore the image of God. We are not told anywhere. We are told that God said, let us. And now what God there is Elohim, is the plural. And the gods said, let us make man. It's the English that makes it difficult for you to appreciate that this was a community of divine beings and the gods as Elohim. And so as if that was not enough to have his image on man or in man. And then number two, the Bible says, and God breathed the breath of life into him, and man became a living being. Some religions say man became a living soul. Then God blessed them. Now, so you see two things. When God said, let us make man in our own image, he did two things. After making them, first, that he made man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed. Come on, say, he breathed. So a quality of God. from heaven upon man. Something from heaven came upon man. He breathed. That is the first time we see a divine virtue emanating from God into man. After he said, let us make man, then we are told that he formed man from the dust of the earth. And I've been telling you that. Now, what is this so special about man? That is why angels wanted to look into the mystery of creating man. That angels are not made from the dust of the ground, and yet they don't have that quality of God, that God made man in his own image. Jesus never came in the similitude of angels. He came as a man. But after God has created man, he breathed. So something left the realm of God and came into the realm of humanity. Breath. And that word breathe into is the word ruah. He breathed into man. Breath left God and came on man. Now follow me carefully and see, why did God do that? Number two, the Bible said that, and God blessed them. Why should he bless them? Again, something left God. That word bless is the word barak. Barak. So God, barak, he blessed them. It's a word of benediction. It's like saying that, now may the Lord favor you. May his grace rest on you. That benediction was first delivered by God when he created man. He delivered that benediction after creating man. Now the question is why? Why did he have to declare a benediction after he has created man? When he had breathed into man, number two, he declared a benediction. And God bless. Come on, say, and God bless man. One more time. I can't hear you. You are not in church. I say you are not in church. And God did what? Bless man. Now watch this. Watch this. I'm taking it again. It's a word, barak, B-A-R-A-K, barak, but it's pronounced bow, barak. And that word simply means that God released something from him upon man. But follow and look at, after God had released something upon man, what did he say? Watch it. He says, 28, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful. Now, it means that after the declaration of the benediction, God is expecting something that will not have happened without the barak. It means that man could not have been fruitful without barak. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful. Come on, say, be fruitful. Then he said, multiply. Then he said, fill the earth. Then he said, subdue it. Then he said, have dominion. Theologians call this the dominion mandate of man. But this dominion mandate only came to man after God has baraked them, after God has declared blessings. Now, this gives you a picture of what I'm going to talk about in the next couple of minutes. The anointing. The anointing is a quality of God. It's a divine enablement. It's a divine attribute. It's a divine virtue that comes from God upon a man. And when it comes upon the man, something must change. So God barak them. And after the barak, he said, be fruitful. Come on, say, be fruitful. So from this, we see the first indication of a quality of God. coming of the second indication of the quality of God. Because the first indication is that, and God breathed into man. That when he breathed into man, man became a living being. In other words, man could not have become a living being without a breath. Are you following me? All right? Then the second is that, and God blessed man. Then he said, be fruitful. So without Barak, man will not be fruitful. Without Barak, man cannot multiply. Without Barak, man cannot fill the earth. Without Barak, man cannot subdue the earth. Without Barak, man cannot have dominion over the animals in the sea, or the fish in the sea, and the birds in the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And you'll see this pattern repeated in scripture. God never unleashed any man without a quality from him first. No. That pattern repeatedly shows itself in the scriptures. Right from creation, God did not unleash man. He only unleashed the man after he had declared a blessing. Now, that pattern should give you an idea of why God anoints. Nobody will be unleashed until something has come from God. No man will be assigned until something has come from God. Because it's very simple. The reason why God will anoint before you are unleashed is that the assignment is not yours. The assignment is God's. No man is anointed to pursue your own agenda. The anointing is not wasted like that. No. God doesn't anoint man to pursue his own agenda. So the anointing is a divine application of divine energy, divine power, divine grace, divine strength that is given to man to pursue a divine agenda. The anointing is for a purpose. And God blessed them and said, multiply. It means that God wanted them to multiply. It means that he wanted them to be fruitful. It means that he wanted them to fill the earth. This is God's goal. His goal is his purpose. His goal is his assignment. His goal is his intention. His goal is what he wants to achieve. So God blesses man and God anoints man for his own purpose. No man is anointed for your own purpose. We are not unleashing you to achieve your own purpose. If you are unleashed to achieve your own purpose, the kingdom will suffer. You are unleashed to achieve a divine purpose. Come on, say a divine purpose. One more time. Say, I am unleashed to achieve a divine purpose. One more time. Say, I am unleashed to achieve a divine purpose. So that gives us an opening text to what we'll be dealing in the next 3 months and part of it this week. Now, turn your Bibles with me and let's go to a practical application of this understanding in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. We are reading from the chapter 9. And then we'll read chapter 10 and a few verses. And then we'll read chapter 16 and a few verses. Just to set a certain supporting text for the first point. Remember, I said God anoints for his purpose. Tell a friend, God anoints for his purpose. One more time. So nobody is seeking God's purpose without being anointed. anybody who is seeking to execute God's purpose, you ought to be anointed. Because you cannot achieve God's purpose without his anointing. No. That is not in scripture, and that cannot happen. Any man that seeks to achieve God's purpose, that this is God's purpose, you must come under God's unction. And that is why you don't get anointed if you are pursuing your own selfish agenda. So, 1 Samuel 9. Let's read from the verse 15 and 16. Now, the back story is about a man called Kish who has lost some donkeys and has released his son by name Saul to go in search for the donkeys. And they kept moving with a servant. For days, they couldn't find the donkeys. And then, somebody met them and said, I know a man of God at this place. Go there. Whatever he says comes to pass, he could help. God had already spoken to Samuel that he is going to choose a man. Come on, say, choose a man. Now, why was God choosing a man? Because the Jews were calling for a king. They need a leader. They say that we have seen that all those around us have leaders. They have kings. We also want a king. And God wanted to give them a king. But he will not give them a king to pursue his own agenda. He was giving them a king to pursue God's own agenda. And that is why God wants to anoint this man called Saul. So God has spoken to Samuel that somebody is coming to you from the tribe of Benjamin, the least tribe. His name is Saul. His father's house is Kish. Rise and anoint him. So look at verse number 9. That's the background. Verse number 15 and 16. Now the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel. About this time tomorrow, I'll send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Please pay attention. Anoint him ruler. Anoint him what? Over my people Israel. So can you see that? Can you see God's agenda? Can you see God's agenda? Come on, I want you. Can you see God's agenda? His agenda is to get what? Oh, come on. His agenda is to get what? A ruler. That is God's agenda. I want you to anoint him a ruler over my people. So the anointing is always function driven. Come on, say, it's function driven. The anointing is always function driven. He said, anoint him ruler over my people, not your people. My people. I have a will. I have a plan. I have an idea. I have an intention. Anoint him a ruler over my people. Now listen to the part, second part of the agenda. He will deliver them from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked on my people, for their cry has reached me. So the anointing of Saul was to solve a problem. The anointing was to meet a need. The anointing was to deliver a function. The anointing was not accidental. Nobody gets anointed accidentally. No. The anointing is purposefully delivered. There is an agenda, a divine agenda, a divine intellect, a divine design, a divine purpose. The anointing is not an accident. The anointing is a design. It's a design. He will rule over my people. Come on, say, he will rule. Say again, say, he will rule. Say, he will rule. Go and tell. Anoint him a ruler over my people. Number 2, he will deliver them from the hand of the Philistines. Now, if you have read, you're a student of the Bible, you will know that one of the most notorious bands or group of people that Israel dealt with in their history, their 4,000 plus history, was this group. In fact, this is the group that produced a champion by name Goliath. They were so notorious, and nobody could bring them down until a young man appeared who carried an unction for a function. So the agenda of God must be delivered. That is why God is asking Samuel, arise and anoint. Come on, say, arise and anoint. So you see, God doesn't just unleash. He doesn't just release people. He doesn't just assign people. He doesn't just give us a role. He gives us a role because he has an agenda. Every role that you function fits within a puzzle of divine, or a puzzle of the divine. There is a puzzle, there is a plan, there is a design that God is seeking to unpack. And every role you play in the kingdom must solve that puzzle. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Every role must solve it. If you come to church and then you say, I'll tell you something that will blow your mind. Because sometimes some of you feel like, when we talk about the anointing, it's anointing to heal. It's anointing to raise the dead. It's anointing to cleanse lepers. It's anointing to, you know, what else? Open the eyes of the blind. It's, and then we quickly, you know, quote scripture. Jesus is anointed to, I will show you things that the anointing does. That will surprise you. Because some of you feel that, as for me, I'm not anointed. Listen, everybody seated here by the mandate of God's word and the fact that you are born again and that you are in the hands of Jesus, you carry an anointing. Come and say, I carry an anointing. Now, let's go to the next text. Let's read 1 Samuel, chapter 10. And this is also about David. Sorry, about Saul. When Samuel had anointed him. Listen, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 10, I'm reading 3 verses. Verse 1, verse 6, and 7. Verse 1, verse 6, and 7. So verse 1 says, then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, has not the Lord anointed you? Now, look at the assignment. Let's read the last part. Has not the Lord anointed you? Oh, come on. You are not here. He has anointed you. Anointed you. Over. So God has an inheritance. And that inheritance will not be managed by any ordinary person. Some of you have no idea that you are anointed for your family. You have no idea. You are anointed for your family. Let me tell you, some of you are working in places, particular offices. You are the only one who carries God's anointing for that business. Look at verse 6 and 7. When Samuel anointed Saul, 6 and 7 says, that is when he had anointed him, he gave him some prophetic words. That after I have anointed you, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you. And you will prophesy with a band of prophets. And you will be changed. Tell a friend, I'll be changed. Into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Now, this part is very interesting. Let me spend about a minute there. He says, when I have anointed you. And you are stepping out from me. You will meet a band of company of prophets. And the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you. Now that gives us a picture of the nature of the anointing. The nature of the anointing is such that the anointing is activated by the application of the Spirit of God. The anointing is not activated by book, by knowledge, by experience. It's not activated by your skill. It's not activated by your network and your connections. It's not activated by your money. It's not activated by your ability to talk. It's not activated by your oration. Please listen to me. The anointing is not activated by talent. The anointing is activated by the Spirit of God. So he says, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully on you. And then he said, when that happens, some things will happen to you. Number one, you will be changed into another person. Now please, that phrase another person doesn't mean your color will change. It doesn't mean your face will change. It doesn't mean that if you are Akwetia, you'll be tall. Otherwise, when David was going to meet Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, God's anointing should have increased David's height a little bit. Those of you who watch all kinds of movies, Priscilla and I were watching a movie. Priscilla, what was that? A few days ago on Netflix. And very interesting. You know, the guy was standing there. Then some anointing came upon him. Let's say anointing. Then he did this. Then he was getting bigger and taller. Bigger and taller. Bigger and taller. That can only happen at Hollywood. And then he came to the size of the demon that was going to say, and the prisoner said, Daddy, what kind of movie is this? Now, that can only happen at Hollywood and in American movies and modernized Indian movies. In the kingdom, the anointing doesn't change any physical quality. But I'll tell you what it changes. He says, you will be turned into another man. Now that phrase, another man, is an internal change. So David is still a 16, 17-year-old boy. But there is a mighty force seated inside of him. You see, when the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, is not talking about externalities. It's talking about interiorities. It's talking about internal packaging. There is a certain package seated inside of you that may not show outside, but as you sit here, your internal man is anointed. There is power on your soul, power in your spirit, power in your internal man. You are anointed. Somebody stamp your feet, clap your hands, and give him praise. Kalabahasa. Please kindly take your seat. So it is not about your size. That is why David can stand before Goliath and tell Goliath, let me tell you the way satanic demonic anointings work. Satanic demonic anointings, they work by external applications. So the Bible tells us extensively about Goliath. Number one, he was the tallest. Now, do you know that if God's anointing works by height, the most qualified person to face Goliath would have been King Saul. We are told in the chapter 9 and chapter 10 that Saul was the tallest in the whole of Israel, most handsome. So if we are looking for a man to stand before Goliath and say, oh, how dare you talk to us like that? You know, like in the movies, God always has a deep voice. God doesn't have a woman's voice. That's why Elijah was being caught up with that. Because the Bible says he heard a still, small voice. So God can also be soprano singer. Elijah. Elijah knows that when God is coming, the rocks are splitting, the waters are... But for the first time, Elijah... Physical qualities don't necessarily attract the anointing. So we should be looking out for Samuel. Sorry, Saul. Then Saul said, the Bible says, for 40 days, Goliath stood in the valley of Elah. And then he decreed, choose a man. Let him come here and fight with me. That is the demonic anointing. And if he defeats me, we shall be your slaves. If I defeat you, you shall be, choose you a man. Then he will add, today, I defy the armies of Israel. Then everyone, the anointing is simple, but its manifestation is powerful. Then the Bible said, and David appeared. 15, 16, 17, young man. Then he heard the cry of a champion. Now look at the physical qualities of Goliath. Number one, twice in 1 Samuel 17, he's called a champion. Number two, Saul himself said he was a champion from his youth. That's what he told David. That you are unable to fight against. It means that he has experience. The anointing of God doesn't work with experience. Please pay attention. Number three, he has somebody who carries a helmet. Number four, he is clothed in iron clothes. And number five, and that is, I'll tell you the reason why Saul wanted to dress David the same way. Because you see, Saul was caught up with a feeling that the anointing of Goliath must match hand in hand with what God is doing. Please, that is not a point. God doesn't work like that. That's not a point. God is not anointing you like he's anointing the world. No, our anointing is different. So he wore David the same clothes. Then David said, no, I'm not used to this. I don't wear this. Let me tell you again. The anointing is simple in its application, powerful in its manifestation. You didn't hear that. I said, you didn't hear that. I said, the anointing is simple in its application, but it's powerful in its manifestation. Shall I repeat it? Write it. I said, the anointing is simple in its application, but the anointing is powerful in its manifestation. Number four, he himself was clothed in iron clothes. Number six, Goliath was deep in the spirituals. The Bible says that when David was getting closer, he cursed David by his gods. So the guy was not very simple in the realms of the spirit. He was not a novice. He was a guru in the realms of magic and demonic applications. He cursed David by the name of his gods. But listen to what David said. Oh, I repeat. The anointing is simple in its application, but powerful in its manifestation. Then the Bible said, and David said, you come against me with spear, with javelin. Think about all the things he was carrying. But I come against you in the name of the Lord. He said, today the Lord will hand you over to me. Can I say, the Lord will hand you over to me. So what the anointing does is that the anointing facilitates. It gives you ability beyond your capacity. It gives you ability beyond your strength. It gives you ability beyond your talent. It gives you ability beyond your knowledge. It gives you ability beyond what you can do. The anointing is an extension of God upon a man in the simplicity of its application. But when it's manifesting itself, it carries power. It carries power. But I come against you in the name of the Lord. Now, David did not pick a javelin. David did not pick ballistic missile. David did not pick cruise missile. David did not pick some of the most sophisticated machinery. If you want to look at the weapons that people are using in modern warfare, follow the war in Ukraine and Russia, and then follow the war in between Israel and Hamas, and look at the sophistication. Look at modern warfare. A drone can just deliver a bomb. Now, David never carried any of these. David carried what he called the name of the Lord. Come on, say, the name of the Lord. Now, if this is not an anointing, tell me. He said, the Lord will hand you over to me. So when a man is anointed, things are handed over. Because it is not by your strength, Zechariah 4 says, it is not by your strength, it is not by your power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So when a man is anointed, things are handed over to you. In other words, you don't need energy, extra skill. But what you need is that when you have the skill, there is an enhancement of the skill. So anybody sitting here, you are an accountant, receive an enhancement. You are a psychologist, receive an enhancement. You are somebody who is good in piano, receive an enhancement. You are somebody who is good in writing, yes, receive an enhancement. Yes, the anointing is enhancing capacity, yes, of Lord, the divine upon a man. I decree by the mandate of the spirit of power that something comes upon you. Slap your hands and scream, yes! Thank you, Lord. That is the anointing. God anoints for a function. Tell a friend, God anoints for a function. And ask the person, what is your function? So functionless Christians are not anointed. God anoints for a function. But the good news is that no believer is functionless. Every believer has a function. Every believer has a role. The believer is a church. God anoints the church for an assignment. The church does not operate in a vacuum. No. Nobody was ever called and was never discharged. Every calling must end up in a discharge. Nobody was ever called and never, you know, commissioned. Anybody who is called must be commissioned. And nobody ever got commissioned without being anointed. A commissioning is an unleashing. You are commissioned and sent. You are unleashed to go and function. So every believer sitting here, in 2024, you are going to function in your assignment. Say, I'm going to function. I can't hear. Say, I'm going to function in my assignment. Now let's go to our text scripture. 1 Samuel 16 verse 1. And I'm reading the verse 13 as well. 1 Samuel 16 verse 1. And I'm reading verse 13 as well. 1 Samuel 16 verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. To be king. What is happening? Are you not projecting? To be king. One more time. To be. I can't hear you. To be. So what is the role of God here? What is God's assignment? Oh, are you following? What is God's assignment? The assignments that God is looking for. So he's looking for somebody to be. Can God look for somebody to be an accountant for a company? Is it possible? Can God look for somebody to be a nurse for a particular hospital? Is it possible? Can God look for somebody to be a medical doctor for a particular health post? Is it possible? Are you seeing a pattern? So the anointing is for a function. I just want you to just get that point clear. He says, I want him to be what? To be what? You are not here. To be what? In this church, we talk. So I want to be. To be what? Uh-huh. Now let's go to the verse 13. Verse 13 of the same chapter. The same chapter. Verse 13. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. What came powerfully? What came powerfully? What came powerfully? So I see, when we are talking about anointing, we are also talking about the Spirit of the Lord, the application. And here, I'm not talking about the general application of the Spirit of God. Now listen carefully to the general application. Anybody who turns to the Lord is born again by the Spirit. Please pay attention. When you turn to the Lord, you are born again by the Lord. And you are born by the Spirit of God. That is what theologians call regeneration. Your spirit is reconnected to God. Because when you were a sinner, Ephesians 2, you were separated from God. But now, you are both near. So when you got born again, God anointed you by the Spirit, who took you from the place of death to the place of life. And Ephesians 2 says that we are made alive. We have come and that's the Spirit of God. Not this is work. He brings us back to God. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Just quiet. Gentle. Lift up your hands. Ah. 2 days ago, I sent a vision to Presiding. In the vision, I'd walk into this church. Let me leave the first part, because the first part was a personal one. But in the second part, a man walked to me here. Then he said, I have been sent to bring you fertilized soil. Then he said, I asked, what is it for? He said, to apply it around and inside your church. And they were packed in bags. And we pick and pour it. We pick,
yes, Lord,
and pour it.
And pour.
We pick,
yes, Lord,
and pour it.
And pour.
We pick,
yes, Lord,
and pour it.
Yes, Lord.
I demand an unleashing of the Spirit of God. Listen, this year, yes, as the Lord told me to tell you, he says, I will anoint them mightily.
Hallelujah.
Because the challenges are heavy. The anointing is God's design to take up the weight of your head so that you don't carry the weight, excess baggage. The anointing is a weight carrier. Whoever said that a young man can kill Goliath? But when the oil comes upon a man, whatever you cannot carry, you can carry.
Jesus.
He said, I will anoint them to carry. Yes, as of 2024, whatever you couldn't carry 3-4 years ago, the Lord is anointing you to carry it by the mandate of power. In a minute, I'm ending. So be standing as I read this. Because I didn't tell you why God anointed me. I just gave you an introduction. Because this week I'm dealing with that subject.
Yes.
And if you want to know the 6 reasons why God anoints people, yes, 6 or 7 reasons, come here.
Yes.
Just come and listen why God anoints people. But listen to this text. How many of you want God to anoint you at your place and when you work? How many of you want your abilities to be anointed? How many of you want your skills to be anointed? Oh, come on. I want to see your hand. How many of you want your skills to be anointed? How many of you want some extra hewale? Extra, something beyond. So the anointing is an extra energy. Come on, say an extra energy.
An extra energy.
Now look at me. If you were driving a vehicle and then your fuel runs out, and then you don't have extra fuel, you'll be stuck. True or false?
True.
The anointing is an extra strength. It gives you capacity beyond your ability. The anointing is the application of the divine into the spaces of the humane. It is God depositing himself within the spaces of a human being. Listen to this. Exodus 30 to 36, verse 1. Exodus 35, 30 to Exodus 30, verse 1. Exodus 35, verse 30 through to of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God. Listen carefully. He has filled him with wisdom. He has filled him with understanding. He has filled him with knowledge, and he has filled him with all kinds of skills. So put your skill there. Huh? Engineer, put your skill there. He has filled him with all kinds of skills. Come on, say all kinds of skills.
All kinds of skills.
This week, come and listen to it. Come on, don't say that I'm an accountant. Say I am an anointed accountant. Okay. Don't say I'm a nurse. Say I am what? Anointed nurse. Don't say I'm a psychologist. Say I am what? Anointed. I told you about a client who came to me and I was about to apply my psychology. God said, no. This is not just psychology. I looked into the person's eye and the person fell flat on the floor and began foaming from the mouth. He had a problem that God dealt with one blow. I was going to use all kinds of skills and come on, say, I am anointed.
I am anointed.
Say, I am anointed.
I am anointed.
And add your skill. I'm an anointed builder. Some of you don't have skills. You don't know what to say. Oh my God. Listen. He says, I have anointed him with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs. Listen carefully. The anointing, even artistic designs. I'll break this down. Don't worry. I'll break it in the week. Artistic design for work in gold, work in silver, work in bronze, to cut and set stone. Even cutting and setting stone is an anointing. To work in wood. Who is a carpenter here? Who is a carpenter here? To work wood and to engage in all kinds of artistic craft. Listen, anybody here who is an architect, receive an anointing beyond what you know. Listen, he says, he has given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahisamak, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach Ayakona. So even the ability to teach. Who is a teacher here? Who is a teacher here? Ability to teach others. Then he continued. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers. Hey, where are the designers? Come on, say designers. Come on, say designers. And shout unleashed. Shout anointed. He said designers, engravers, embroiders in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. Where is the woman who sews my wife clothes? Mama, we the open mirror. Receive an anointing. Ability to design embroiders in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, and weavers of them skilled workers and designers. So Bezalel, Oholiab, and every skilled person. Come on, say Oholiab. And every skilled person,
yes, Lord,
to whom the Lord has given skill and ability. Come on, say skill and ability.
Skill and ability.
And this week I'll be breaking that down. Come on, say skill and ability.
Skill and
say
ability.
Say anointing.
Anointing.
Say skill.
Skill.
Say ability.
Ability.
Are you here?
Yes, sir.
He says, so Bezalel, Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded. Lift up your hands. But starting from Tuesday, tell a friend, starting from Tuesday.
Starting from Tuesday.
This whole room at the top is filled.
Yes.
And I'm dealing with the anointing. If you want to be here, put your hands. Let me hear your clap. I'm speaking on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm speaking up to Sunday. I am anointed to do it.
Ah.
And I will do it.
Do it, sir. Do it.
But how many of you are blessed?